is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 8th of February, 2022, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Well, good morning. I got to tell somebody happy birthday. Producer, play that song for me. Producer's going to play a song. I want to say happy birthday to someone who has been a guest on the show more than once. I appreciate his participation in the discussions that I'm trying to have, but more importantly than that, I appreciate the music that this young Bahamian be banging out. You know, I can't remember if you're still in the Defense Force or not, but we want to salute you for the contributions you've made to this country, and whether it is in uniform or on the stage in your rake and scrape uniform. So, happy birthday, Shine. Happy birthday to you. We know you did it on your own. Oh, that's what you play and you feel like whining? Boy, Shine, I don't know. These people love you. I'm going to have a serious, mature birthday with you this morning, but they say, go have a good time, sir. Go have a good time. Thank you, producer. This one got a nice little bounce to it, too.
I don't worry about you, hard-headed bird, don't make a soup. I come here to carry on, bud, mash up the place we mad. Grab a little thing, most one she ever had. Listen to what I say.
Thank you, producer. Shine, you have a good one. You have a blessed one, and remember, share the cake. Share the cake with everybody. Tell that boy Johnny Cake he better be baking. Y'all have a good time today. Well, today is World News Tuesday with my guest, Mark Palmer. We missed a week there. We had some other things that we had to tend to. But I brought Mr. Palmer in with me to discuss some of what I think are the world's top stories this week. Mr. Palmer is going to bring his perspective. Some of these topics this morning are more than a little controversial, and I want to prepare us for that. But before we get the show started, let me give you the call-in numbers and the text numbers. You could text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. I paused there because there's a text. I can't read that text right now, but I'm gonna get back to you. I'm going to answer it. So before we get the show started, a couple of housekeeping notes. Today and tomorrow, the National Neighborhood Watch Council will be hosting a domestic violence symposium at 6:30 p.m. today and tomorrow. The meeting ID is 823-6098-3369. Password NNWC 2022. You can also go online, go onto Facebook and search National Neighborhood Watch Council, and you will find a flyer there with the same details that I just read off. Please, if you are concerned about safe communities and young people in your communities and families, join this conversation. Join the National Neighborhood Watch Council. See if you can start a neighborhood watch group in your community. Also, just a little bit on traffic this morning. I just want to say, I've had members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force on my show, and we've discussed the fact that there was recently a moratorium on driving schools so that the state can ensure that the people that are teaching us how to drive understand thoroughly and completely the rules and controls on the road. But I think we need a moratorium on driving tests. I think we need to require everybody to get retested every 3 to 5 years. And then we need a moratorium. Just make everybody sit it out and wait. And maybe we could rebuild our public transportation system. I want to say to the Royal Bahamas Police Force, there was a massive red truck this morning, obviously a commercial vehicle, who was moving water containers, not 5-gallon bottles, real proper water containers. I'm sure these are like 50-gallon to 100-gallon bins on the back of a truck. I'm almost certain that they were making their way to the port. Now, the police officers that manned the port wouldn't notice, but that vehicle was driving recklessly all the way from Mackey Street in Shirley to where I lost sight of it in front of the Hilton. Their journey started with a clear and deliberate decision to turn right on red despite the fact that there was oncoming traffic. You see, this isn't called snitching. This is called community development. We don't need reckless, idiotic people in charge of massive commercial vehicles on our road. It's already a shame that we have no special licensing, no special training or certification required to drive large commercial and corporate vehicles. It's a shame that citizens are left helpless in the literal hands of people whose driving culture is the biggest machine wins. In fact, we have a whole Royal Bahamas Police Force whose job it is to enforce traffic controls. And when you go into headquarters on East Street, at least the last time I went there, there was a wonderfully printed banner indicating that traffic control is every officer's responsibility. But it's okay. If I survive the next accident I'm in, I'm suing everybody. I even sue in the people who make the bread at the hospital, because that's the only way y'all will take this seriously. Please, Royal Bahamas Police Force, we rely on you to moderate traffic and driving culture. That is your job. It is not my job. It's not any other citizen's job. It is your job. And let's start by ensuring that every officer knows what the traffic controls are not on the street facilitating criminal activity by giving people the wrong directions. And I know, unfortunately, this happens because I am aware of a number of matters where people were directed incorrectly by the police as to what to do after a traffic accident that they were involved in. Please, Royal Bahamas Police Force, we rely on you. See, we talk in world news today, but I don't have the time to talk about the way that police forces in developed countries police. But it would be fascinating for us to spend some time on that. On another note, Royal Bahamas Police Force, please come sponsor my show. It don't make sense I call your name all the time like this. Let's do a thing together. Let's work on something. I think the Bahamian public would appreciate it. Anyway, back to world news. I am a bit remiss. Mr. Palmer, we didn't meet last week to have this discussion, but February 1st marked the Chinese New Year, and we have entered the year of the tiger. Which is why, when I realized that, I thought about the story that I spoke to a few weeks ago, where a resident in Inagua sent us a picture of a cat and what could have been a pot cake in the bush, with concerns there was a big cat on the loose in Inagua. But have no fear, it is just the year of the tiger. There are no big cats. Well, he or get rid of that bubbler. Yeah, but see, I appreciate that. Maybe it was a filter. Maybe he had a filter on his phone and he didn't realize it. I call it the big eye filter, right? Because my plate is look small. When big eye, though, it look big, and I sit down to eat and I feel good, even though it's a very small meal. So yeah, turn off the big eye filter, sir, and then go into your phone, go to settings, go to sense, and then hit comment, and then take a picture. That's a great filter too. Imagine what you see. Text here says, great show as usual. Everyone in Nassau need to walk or ride a donkey until we learn how to act on the road. Dear Texter, I'm going to bring in Mr. Palmer. We're going to have a discussion in a couple of weeks about methods and strategies and solutions that people use in other countries and jurisdictions to manage traffic and driving culture. Producer, was that my music I heard a second there? Yes, that sounded like my music I did heard. Let's play that music. Let's go to a break. And when we come back from the break, we're just going to touch on the platinum anniversary of the Queen. Mark, what you think? You think she should send us our money back? You think we got our money's worth over the last 70 years? So what about us? We don't get a cut of it. Boy, but listen, before you step down, we need to talk about this cousin, because Queen is my cousin. And then after that, we're going to get into our discussions for this morning. Producer, hit that music for me. Let's go to a break. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and my guest today, Mark Palmer. We'll be right back.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I walk to the fire, barefoot shoes run away. What I would have been if I didn't listen what people say. I move with my pleasure, don't fall under the pressure. Don't trouble no water, baby, don't ruffle no feather.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. It is a World News Tuesday with Mark Palmer. And, you know, the Queen.
God bless her.
Yes, the head of state of the Bahamas. And my cousin, by the way. So y'all be easy. I know y'all thought this was going to be a controversial discussion. But she's my cousin. And I'm sure she may be cousin to a couple of us here. Right. But let's talk to this like $10 billion a year. So the royal family generates $10 billion in taxes, essentially, that then gets used up by her subjects.
Yeah.
So how come none of that has come back here?
That's a shame, isn't it? That's a good question.
Well, it also leads to whether we are taking advantage of the history that we have, right? Because I imagine we don't need permission to sell experiential tourism and sell history and sell culture through our own eyes. So, although I am an anti-imperialist, anti-colonialist advocate, I also understand not looking a gift horse in the mouth. That's the phrase. I believe it's British. I don't pay attention to that stuff. But also, not subversively, but in a harmonious way, not taking advantage of, but using to your benefit what exists, what you can't change. And so we don't need the Queen to send us nothing. We could just do some cultural heritage tourism and some old Queen tourism and do that.
Well, I don't think she's going anywhere. I don't think she wants Charles to be king, right? So she's going to hang in there like grim death.
See, I tell you all, the Queen is my cousin. The Queen is a Bahamian. She ain't interested in this boy taking the reins, so she's attempting to outlive him, is what you're saying. Oh, boy, listen, Queenie, if you need me to send you some Cerise, some aloe, right? Because Cerise is what they call bitter melon, right? We could send all of that, Corella. We could send all of that down for you. We could send some sunshine. We could send some coconut oil. Whatever you need on your plan. Because you obviously is a Bahamian, and I appreciate that. Also in top news, we had a little sad news, actually. Same sort of time as the Chinese New Year, flooding in Cape Haitian. February 1st, Al Jazeera reported that 2 days of heavy rains resulted in floods that have killed at least 3 people. The death toll was reported hours after rescuers began evacuating people in high-risk zones where thousands of homes have been flooded and some 2,500 families have been displaced. The north of the country was hardest hit with water filling the historic city center the city of Cape Haitian, and strong winds downing trees. Boy, authorities said the storm has affected areas that are still trying to recover from a 7.2 magnitude earthquake that hit the country in August 21, killing more than 2,000 people. Ah, boy, and so we send prayers and strength and light and love to our brothers and sisters in Haiti. And we ask all advocacy groups that sort of work in this area to do what they can to support. I know that Bahamians are also struggling. Bahamians are also having a hard time. But that one is rough.
Yeah, can you imagine if we had earthquakes in the mix for us?
Yeah.
like they did historically in Jamaica and also obviously Haiti.
Right.
Can you imagine what that would put, kind of position that would put us in?
And we do, you know, don't we do have earthquakes in our midst. Inagua and Southern Islands have experienced the effects of these earthquakes happening in Haiti. But the truth is, if New Providence, the center of politics and governance and finance, if that were hit, then we would be in a devastating position. I got a call on the line, Mark. Let me entertain this call. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
How are you?
I'm always fine. I'm hearing your voice. Good morning to your guest.
Blessings.
You talk about Mike Green.
About?
Mike Green. You're talking about Mike Green. You can hear me good?
Yeah.
Said about. I want to make sure you hear me.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
You talk about Mike Green. Green and Elizabeth.
Okay. I got jealous. You say Mike Green. Like, how could she be your queen and she's my queen?
No, that's you. No, but she is Mike Green on a serious note.
Yeah.
We grew up under you, your mom, grandmother, great-grandmother, myself, grew up under her leadership. During the colonial days of time, our protection, the royal yuaks were taxed. You are talking about tax, right?
Yeah. How much money is the Bahamas, as a part of the Commonwealth, making off of the Queen?
Well, back then, Bahamas make a lot because the royal ship had to guide us during the time of Nazi and communism and all of that. I remember, I can tell you, there was a time when we were threatened by Hitler and the royal plane. I had confidence in the royal plane. I had confidence in the royal ship. Hello?
The Bahamas was threatened. There's a potential that the Nazi regime was attempting to overtake or occupy Bahamian Islands?
Well, they tried to break the road, if you read in history.
Yeah, true.
They tried to fly over here, fly over the United States.
Ah.
They tried to hit Florida and over to the Bahamas. There's a lot of history into it. You could read into it. But we was protected by the royal ship.
I got you.
So we were close to the United States. And the United States would do their part because we were close to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The royal ship still make sure that their ship was in the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, and also took the Kikis Islands, what have you, their British territory.
Right? Okay.
But I want to say, I'm looking forward to the 70th Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be powerful, because she's the oldest leader.
Longest standing, I think, reigning.
That's right, yep. Longest outstanding leader. 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the 60th Diamond Jubilee. That was powerful.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward. I think it's going to be this year in June. I urge all people to watch that. It's because we must give a great respect and be ready to keep the British and the British colony back then together. Now we are a Commonwealth nation. They still have a duty to protect Commonwealth nation.
I got you. But listen, I appreciate your perspective because it's the perspective of a lot of Bahamians who grew up in a time when it wasn't colonialism, it was just the crown, right? It wasn't oppression, it was just the way things were done.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. It was colonialism. We moved from colonialism to independence.
I know, but I'm saying at the time, people may not have seen it the way that I see it.
We want to confuse this young generation now.
No. Okay. I got to cut you. Not because we's about.
I want you caught me.
No, not because we's about to row just now, but because I got move on.
We're not going to row. You know, we cool.
Yeah. Good.
I'm going to make sure. Remember, you're part of my generation, you know.
No, but I'm a young biddy.
You're part of my young generation.
Yeah.
I'll make sure you're confused.
Okay, good.
Gentlemen, look, he ordered speech, so he can make sure you will be confused.
Yeah. He's here to make sure.
I'll make sure she's straight.
Yeah, all right. Have a good day.
All right. Look, thank you.
Well, you know, my wife, she's from Haiti, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's a young biddy too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But ever since she saw the crown, she called me the other day. She said, Mark, you got to take me to this jubilee. I said, what jubilee? She said, June 2nd to 6th.
She'd like take her to England.
England to watch it.
to be a tell her.
That's a woman that never set foot in England, never, but she wants to go there and see it.
But listen, in the British Empire, the sun never sets over the British Empire, and that'll give you a sense of the extent to which British culture and British rule permeated the planet, right? It mm-hmm. covered the planet. And so what I was trying to say, caller, is that older generations of Bahamians that grew up in that time would have a different perspective on it from young, radical people, advocates like me who are on this sort of anti-colonial bent. You wouldn't have seen it necessarily as colonialism, as something, but as something different. And then there's a whole bunch of controversy, and I'm glad you called because you made a couple of statements that sort of helped me link to our other discussion. I want to talk about something really controversial this morning, man. Mm. I want to talk about Whoopi Goldberg and these comments that she made about the Jewish Holocaust and race. So let me start off, though, the conversation by saying a couple of things. The first is this, that everything needs and requires critical interrogation, right? And we sort of have an obligation and a right to engage in critical interrogation on issues that impact us at a collective and sort of global level. Very important, but at the same time, it's also important to note that any conversation that you have should not create a less safe environment for the people that you're talking about, right? So we could say what we want, and sometimes we are obligated to speak, but we are also obligated to ensure that when we speak, we take the time to craft our words so that we're not making it less safe for the people that we're talking about directly or the people that are connected to them or connected to the issue, whether coincidentally, directly, or that we're not aware of at all. That's a massive responsibility that mm-hmm. we have, right? Especially with public discourse. So I'm going to start by that. And that's an important note because I think that the response that we get, I'm going to say, from the Jewish community is, and those that support and defend the Jewish community, when we feel that they're just shutting down conversations, they're just radically shutting the door, we don't want to talk about it, or you're not allowed to talk about it, that at the root of that response is this overwhelming fear that any conversation about Judaism that isn't properly moderated will only lead to a less safe environment for Jewish people.
It's right? definitely something that should be more explored on a talk show. Mm-hmm. Rather than somebody in her position making a blanket statement. She may have had something, you know, behind it, but she never explained her position, and she was never given the opportunity to explain her position.
Right.
And then she did a what you call a false apology. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you hear the apology? She
no.
went on Colbert that night.
Right, I read it.
And she never said, I apologize. She said, I was misunderstood. And mm-hmm. and she played the victim card by saying they didn't understand me. They were mad at me. That mm-hmm. is not. If I gave my wife an apology like that after I did something wrong, boy, I would get a cut hip.
But look here, that's why I'm married. But is it fair? Is it fair, though, for me to say to someone or a group of people, I apologize, or I acknowledge that I may have created a less safe environment mm. for you when I spoke, but I cannot apologize for what I said or the premise, right? For what it is that I tried to, say. But I can apologize for creating or being perceived as attempting to create a less safe environment.
She didn't do that.
Right. She didn't do that at all. So let me read quickly what it is that she did say. So here is a quote. And let me give you the back context. So Whoopi Goldberg was on the show The View alongside her co-hosts Joy Behar, Sarah Haynes, Anna Navarro. And they were discussing a Tennessee school board's controversial decision to ban MAUs. I think that's how it's pronounced, Maus, a graphic novel about the Holocaust, in which 6 million Jews were murdered by the Nazis.
It means mouse, like a little animal.
Right. So Goldberg, Whoopi Goldberg said, quote, "Let's be truthful about it because the Holocaust isn't about race." No, it's not about race. She repeatedly tried to prove her point and said that the Holocaust was about, quote, man's inhumanity to man. Despite her co-hosts interjecting to remind her the Jews in Nazi Germany were considered, quote, a different race, close quote. Whoopi went on to say, but you're missing the point, you're missing the point. The minute you turn it into race, it goes down this alley. Let's talk about it for what it is. It's how people treat each other. That's the problem. Now, I think that Whoopi should know that it's far more complex than just that.
Yeah, more nuanced.
Right?
I mean, I went and had a look at, you know, Mein Kampf, which is, for probably listeners, German was my first language.
So yeah.
I looked at what Hitler wrote about it, and he clearly saw it as race. In fact, can I read it to you?
Mm-hmm.
He said, this pestilential adulteration of the blood, of which hundreds of thousands of people take no account, is being systematically practiced by the Jew today. Systematically, these negroid parasites in our national body corrupt our innocent fair-haired girls and thus destroy something from which can no longer be replaced in this world. And so it was clearly a question of race from at the way they viewed race in those days, or framed it in those.
And we could say the way that the Nazis framed it, or the way that the whole European environment framed it.
And I would say the European environment, because this wasn't just
Germany. The second point I wanted to make as we began the show is something that I say repeatedly, right? That ancestry or ethnicity and race are two separate things, right? Race is mutable. That means it can change and it does change over time, geography, culture, right? Even over disciplines, race is considered one thing in science, in medical science,
correct,
another thing in astrophysics, another thing, right?
From the Jewish perspective.
Right. In the church.
Definitions,
From different denominations and faiths in religion. And so race changes. Ancestry and ethnicity, though, never changes. Even if your mother changes her mind about telling you who your father is, your DNA is always the same, right? Mm-hmm. So race and ethnicity are two different things. So when I think about what Whoopi said, what Whoopi was talking about, right, I think that Whoopi is trying to say that the Jews were an ethnic grouping and not a specific racial grouping, right? And I would say that that Whoopi is not wrong, because I think that it is about ethnicity and ancestry. And I think it would be more helpful to talk about ethnicity and ancestry today. But now this is where
interestingly, when you look at ethnicity, you know, when we speak about Jewish culture, we're talking about Ashkenazi culture, which is predominantly American, Eastern European.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other cultures. There's Iraqi Jews, there's Sephardic Jews, there's Mediterranean Jews. They're different. So they have different ethnicities, different cultures.
The Jews coming out of Africa, the people who identify as Hebrew Israelites, and other groupings of people that not...
They may practice Judaism, but as a religion, but not all, in different ways as well. It's not, again... So it is much more nuanced, as you say.
Yeah. And I think in some spaces, they practice something they view as a religion, and other sectors of the religion will say, oh, no, that's a cultural thing that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not holding firm to the faith. But we also see that in Christianity, right? We see a tight policing of Christianity and what is the correct doctrine and what is sect and cultural and heathen and paganistic practice drawn into Christianity. So we make this distinction, right, that race and ancestry or ethnicity are separate things. I would say at this point of intersection that it would be more helpful today to talk about ethnicity and ancestry. I can't say that back then because I wasn't there, mm-hmm. right? I can't say, look.
You're wrong.
Or even if they were wrong, because I think they were, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think the Nazis were correct in their reading of race necessarily, and I don't think the whole Europe was giving us a decent reading.
Well, they tried to reframe Jews as sort of Mediterranean, Negroid, with curly hair and big noses, and that's where their concept of race came from, as sort of a physical, something that was physical from different...
Right,
from
so what we're saying is that in an attempt to justify the discrimination and oppression, mm-hmm. a decision was made that we're going to classify them as Negroid.
Yeah.
So the issue may arise then for some of us in the Jewish community's reading of race post that experience, right? And so one of the questions I would ask is, if at that time the members of this group considered themselves a separate race, right? That the Judaism is a race, mm-hmm. then why does it appear as if or seem as if the religion itself is so exclusionary to people of dark skin? Like,
which is true. I mean, if you look at the situation in Israel, you know, that Jews of black descent are treated very differently.
Yeah.
They're not encouraged to come over in the way that they were initially.
Right, and
day.
To be a part of this new state of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so, for me...
They have a name as well, and I don't know what it's called. There's a sort of derogatory name that they're referred to as well.
Right. So, for me, what it is okay, so I could say, all right, this is how the issue was regarded back then, mm-hmm. right? But if that's how it was regarded, why are so many groupings of people not included, sort of excluded from the definition or the collective?
You're talking about the 10%.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah. And so I thought the discussion is worthy of having, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that this is a discussion that should be shut down. I just, like you pointed out, I don't think that the space was curated properly. I don't think a space was prepared to have a conversation that's intended to bring us together.
Right, and it's, you know, if you get people talking and discuss, that wasn't a discussion from what I saw. It was people saying their opinion, not really debating them. So you have to be careful, you know, if you're a public figure, to what you say. But should she be canceled? See, I'm really against this cancel culture because I don't think it's helpful. She should be allowed to debate her position. You canceling her, you're just pushing it under the carpet now.
Right.
And there seems to be so much of it. And you have to be careful because, say, if you're a Democrat, you want to cancel everyone who's a Republican. When the Republicans come in power, they're going to do the same thing back to you. So don't do it because it's going to backfire on you eventually, right?
Absolutely. I got a caller on the line. Caller, hold the line. Don't go anywhere. I just want to make this quick note. So what I found interesting was Bill Maher, who's also of Jewish descent, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
He is.
Bill Maher, who says has had public run-ins with Goldberg in the past, said that she should not be canceled or put off her show as much as I totally disagree with her crazy statement. He added, free speech. She should be there. And said that the network telling Goldberg to use her time off to, quote, reflect and learn is, quote, so insulting. Mayor Maher also questioned ABC's use of the word impact, saying, there is no impact. There are not neo-Nazis waiting for the green light from a lady on The View. And let's get to this call, and then we get back into that sort of statement by Maher. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. I didn't get the name of your guest, but hello. Now, the Nazis also robbed the Jews of their art and gold. That the Jews are rich people. I've learned this. I've seen them. They can sit on billions, and they run the world, really. They run ABC, NBC, CNN. They have the Diamond District in New York, the Mandu World, or the Black Cocoa Soup, and the little thing on the head. Like the Jews are powerful people, and their lobby is powerful. And to be labeled anti-Semite is easy. It's like, I can see what we're talking about. Like, ethnic is like, you're a class of white people, but you ain't, I can see you're different, like black and white, it's two different class, right?
Say that again?
Like to be a black person, a white person, you can see things from a mile away.
Yeah.
To the Nazi, gotta ask for your papers. When you're on the train, the man's like, I'll see your papers. That's telling that you're the Jew. He can't tell he's a Jew. Now, I want you to Google Nas Daily,
yeah.
The world's most generous billionaire. That is a young boy, 29 years old. He worth $22 billion, and guess what kind of car he drives here in the Bahamas? Guess what? I told a Corolla. Imagine that the Jews could sit on money. They use some money.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Google Nas.
Thank you very much. Listen, you made a wonderful contribution, but I would put it like this, right? To create a more helpful perspective, let's not say that they sit on money. Let's say that they have a amazing intergenerational strategy for sustainable development of their communities, right? Let's focus on that, because that we could learn from.
Because they weren't, well, if you look at it historically, Jewish people weren't allowed to participate in many aspects of society. So the only thing they had left was commerce. And,
mm-hmm.
and as a result of that, they honed all their efforts into commerce. Of course, they're going to be great business people after 500 generations. But they were forced into that position by the countries that they lived in. And hence, that's one of the outputs now, I guess.
Absolutely. So here's the next sort of controversial thing. Actually, let me pause. There's been a whole bunch of controversy for the morning. I got another call there, producer. Let's check that call. Take this call, then we go to a break. Then we come back, and we continue in this conversation. Because I thought my caller, the previous caller was going to say, I mean, it's a great point that he made. I thought he was going to remind us that the Nazi regime didn't start their experimentation and extermination program with the Jews. They started with phenotypical Africans, right? Africans and people who looked definitely like Africans, and disabled people and homosexual people and other people who
gypsies.
Were right, deemed well, yeah. not normal at the time. But let's get to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning to your guest.
Hey.
And I just wanted to touch on Mein Kampf. You're totally correct, but what happens is, don't forget, he also persecuted the Slavs and the Romanis.
Mm-hmm.
The blacks were never put into the concentration camps. He referred to them as Rhineland bastards. Now, what happened is in the book, remember that Hitler said that the book written by Dr. Madison Grant, An American Eugenicist, was
mm-hmm.
his Bible. So his concept of eugenics and racial and social biology actually came from the Americans. This is why they sponsored these, they exchanged funds amongst one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so This is, and so the fact that I think the word is goyim he's looking for, but when you say anti-Semitic or anti-Semite, is that a Semite really is just a member of any people who speak a Semitic language, including the Jews and the Arabs. So that's not really, that's just something that he used to perpetrate this social mechanism. But Hitler within himself knew that we're not bearing in mind miscegenation of the Jewish diaspora as in the great dispersal. So those Ashkenazi Jews, they are not Jews. They're miscegenated, and then they came back to the Balfour Declaration or whatever. And so that Hitler knew that. That's why he never persecuted the black. I mean, he never sent the blacks to the concentration camps. All right. Even though he referred to them as Rhineland bastards, and he held the Jews responsible for the bastardization of the Rhineland. If you really read the book, bless it.
Thank you, 52. Thank you very much.
Mm.
Thank you for that contribution, 52. I wasn't even sure we were ready for that insertion in the conversation. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know if I had enough information to build a context for the audience. But thank you for bringing that in. But I think the point that we can rest on is that this conversation is so important that we shouldn't be canceling people because they took a misstep in the discussion. Now, I know that there are people who would say, listen, I see Bill Maher says, look, Whoopi wearing a house coat. Ain't no neo-Nazis getting ready to storm the castle because she say go. I can see his perspective there, but I also understand why Jewish people would say, look, any conversation that isn't curated properly, and particularly, why would we tolerate a conversation like this by someone who we think is mimicking Jewish culture, right? And so we could get into another controversial aspect because somebody said to me recently, well, didn't Whoopi convert, right? Did she? And so if she did convert, are they then saying, well, look, you could convert, but that don't mean you're really a Jew? Like I said, guys, it could be controversial, but we're trying to frame it in a way that
I mean, the other thing is very binary. So it's like either or. No discussion is either or. She said it's not about race. That's very definitive. So it's not about race. And that's just so binary. We know most discussions you can't discuss just in the simplistic terms, right?
Right. They're not they're not exclusive. Someone.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, there may be, we know there's at least three. There's ethnicity, there's race, there's religion, there's nationalism. There's at least four concepts all tied up in this whole idea about race.
Absolutely, absolutely. Which is why I continue to say I think it's important where possible, right, to focus on ethnicity and ancestry. Mm-hmm. There are times when it is about race, right? Even it's about race, the construct that is mutable. But there are times, and I think this is one of those times, where it's important for us to ensure that we always juxtapose ancestry and ethnicity in these conversations with race, right? This particular conversation. Do I think Whoopi should have been canceled? Do I think she should have been infantilized? In this way, like Ma said, she needs to take time off to reflect and learn.
They still going to pay her plenty of money, right?
Well, there's a question. We don't know. Wow. We don't know. And it shouldn't be about the money. But my thing is really, who in the U.S. media?
Who decides this?
Who has the moral authority?
Right.
I mean, I want to say to these people...
Who's fact-checking?
Right. It's y'all who let Trump become president, you know. I mean, y'all sat right there and treated it like a circus. When the citizens of your country relied on you for investigative journalism, not fancy entertainment. Oh. So that's another question. Who is allowed to speak, right? And so I'm hoping to have some more discussions around censorship, right? The importance of standards in journalism and public discourse, and the dangers of censorship, and who decides who gets to speak. And I think, you know, that in and of itself is a controversial topic. I hope, anyway, Mark, let me leave you with some last words, because I want to make sure that we end the conversation in a helpful way as well, right? I think it's important to acknowledge why Jewish people, and I don't even want to use the word Jewish sympathizers because that's not what it is, but Jewish people and those who defend Judaism, right? It's important to understand why they attempt to censor conversations in this way. It's the sort of same thing with the LGBTI community, right? And they are perceived as attempting to censor and shut down and cancel all the time. Right. Because there's a perception, there's a belief that a conversation in one moment can create an unsafe environment for one person or a group or collection of people, a collective of people. And so we want others to take concern with those conversations, but we can't ever shut down public discourse, and we do ourselves a disservice when we shut down public discourse. I think the only thing we can do is commit to growing and maintaining spaces that we will curate, we will defend and ensure that the people that enter these spaces to have conversations are safe, and that the conversations that we have in these spaces do not negatively, like I said, negatively impact others, whether they are directly connected to the discourse or not. And I hope we can see that and use that in all of our discussions, even the discussion we had yesterday about the suit put forth by the former director of the Disaster Recovery Authority. How do we talk about the issue without making the person at the center of the issue less safe? And so thank you, Mark, for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Thank you to my texters. No texter, I don't think Jews are very cheap people. No, you're right, they don't spend money like that. They spend money by investing in collective and intergenerational projects and movements. And so, like, if you say that, you might as well call everybody from Auckland's cheap, eh? Right? It don't make any sense. They are just prudent and strategic. Or Long Island. They're just prudent and strategic with their money. Another quick text. Hello, Ms. Green. Awesome show as always. We Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans are the true Jews the Bible speaks of. Well, if there were 12 tribes, trust me, it's some Bohemians in one of them tribes. Somebody selling chicken in the bag somewhere with the tribe of Judah, wherever they move in. Another text, Aaron, the Jews in the States have plenty of money and power, and they are the richest people in the world. So Kirshner was Jewish. Aaron, they own all of the golds and diamonds in the world, but they don't own all the jewels because they cannot own every fruit tree on the planet. So rest assured, there's hope for the rest of us. Anyway, like I said, this conversation was intended to grow discourse, not to create a less safe environment for the people that we are talking about. You guys, thank you for joining me, and have a great, great day, Bahamas.